Welcome to the Evolution Eats podcast. This is Noah.
This is Emily.
And today we are here with Turner Wyatt.
He is the CEO of the Upcycled Food Association, which is, well, I think he can tell you more about it, but I really, really was interested in having him on because he is an entrepreneur in the food space, especially really passionate about food waste. And the Upcycled Food Association is really interested in taking up food products and turning them into new products as one way to tackle the food waste problem.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And yeah, so to start things off, basically, tell us in your own words all about what you're doing right now and how that got started.
For sure. Well, it got started long ago. Upcycling food is an ancient tradition that is really just having a resurgent current now in sort of popular food consumption because of the necessity to reduce food waste. And personally, I got involved in this movement through the food recovery space. So when I was in college, I co-founded a food recovery nonprofit called Denver Food Rescue, which I served as the executive director there for 7 years and really love that work, love that organization.
Yeah, so, we're really passionate.
I'm sure you all are familiar with that.
Yeah, we actually went to the food. There's a food waste conference in San Francisco hosted by ReFed. Have you heard of them? Or
yeah, it was there.
You were there. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Maybe you were there, but you know, couldn't meet everyone.
It's quite a conference. Yeah, and there were similar companies, and that's I think where we saw things like that. So.
Definitely. And that work is really important because it's sort of the most fundamental and immediate way that we can start to address the fact that 1 in 7 people is food insecure and up to 40% of our food is going to waste. And so really love that work. Like I said, I was the leader of this organization for many years. And at the same time, in the back of my mind, I was always a little bit frustrated because, as you know, this work is funded. That type of work, food rescue, food recovery, is funded through philanthropy, mm-hmm. which to me was frustrating because, look, we have this huge environmental problem and we're going to leave it up to philanthropists who are infamously fickle with how they spend their dollars. And we're going to use this really unscalable, really uneconomically sustainable system to solve this really important global environmental problem of food waste. That doesn't really seem to line up. Reducing food waste is the third most important thing that we can do to fight climate change. Have you all seen the book Drawdown?
Oh, yes.
One of our previous episodes, we talked about Drawdown. I don't know there was a... We saw the website and we saw a presentation by the group. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason I love it is that it's so quantitative, right?
Yeah.
It kind of draws out this unequivocal argument of like, look, if you want to fight climate change, here are the things that you do. And reducing food waste is number three.
Yeah.
It's ahead of solar energy. It's ahead of regenerative agriculture. It's ahead of a low meat consumption diet, a plant-based diet.
Amazing.
Which are the things that we typically think about being, you know, the most empowered way for individuals to take action on climate change. Eat less meat, use, you know, renewable energy. But no, more important than any of those things is to reduce food waste. And if it's that important, if it's the third most important thing that we can do to avoid climate disaster, we need a systemic way to solve that problem. We can't leave it up to, you know, the whimsical decision of a philanthropist. We need a economically sustainable way to solve the problem.
Right.
And in my frustration with, you know, that system, I got exposed to the concept of upcycled food, which is, again, it's an ancient tradition. It's making bone broth from bones. It's using the whole animal. It's turning broken tortillas into tortilla chips. It's things that human beings have been doing in kitchens for a long, long time. But doing it sort of in a systemic way that creates a consumer-driven solution to food waste versus a philanthropic solution-based solution to food waste.
Wow, yeah, that's really well said. So That's what inspired you to start the Upcycled Food Association, which you now work on full time. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. In my kind of in the early stages of my journey, I started reaching out to upcycled food entrepreneurs, people like Caroline Cotto with Renewal Mill and Dan Kurzrock with Regrained and Matt Clifford with Barnana. And I was just setting up informational interviews with these guys like, hey, how's it going? How's business? What's your take on this industry? These are really cool products, but I think a lot of people see them as sort of just like cute little social enterprises that, you know, they might do pretty well. They might drum up some attention, but they're not going to go big. Mm-hmm. And what I was learning is that actually some of these businesses are quite big. They're growing to 100 million in revenue and beyond. And yet, as I was having these conversations with these entrepreneurs, I'm noticing they're all facing virtually the same challenges. They all kind of have the same things that are irking at them as business owners, as entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. that is kind of unique to their use case as someone who's using otherwise wasted food as an ingredient. And a couple examples of that. So they're all kind of dealing with this messaging problem. How do we get people to understand that these products are quality and they're premium and it's not, we're, you know, this isn't food that, you know, is trash and mm-hmm. we're just, mm-hmm. you know, rebranding it and packaging it and selling it to you. But these are actually, you know, totally food safe, nutritious byproducts that are being transformed, upcycled into really high quality, nutritious products. How do we communicate that in a way that actually resonates with consumers and that's simple and easy to understand? How do we get past all the regulatory barriers? We're all dealing with sort of new ingredients that haven't been used before, like, you know, a flour made from Okara in the case of Renewal Mill. A flour made from spent brewer's grain in the case of Regrained. Or we're creating like some new system of importation or aggregation of ugly produce that would go to waste on farms. And there's regulatory barriers. Right. And so I'm noticing that as I'm talking to these entrepreneurs, they're all facing similar barriers. And I'm hearing from them, we've got to do something about this because we have really good ideas, but systematically there are some barriers in the way of our success. And so eventually it became clear that what needed to happen was for a third party organization that isn't caught up in the day-to-day grind of running a startup food company to lift the weight of those barriers off the shoulders of each individual company so that they can just focus on their success. And we, as the third party, can systematically focus on making them more successful. And that's exactly what we did. This group of businesses that I was in contact with over the past year or so came together and they formed the Upcycled Food Association, which is a nonprofit trade association whose mission is to reduce food waste by growing the upcycled food economy and doing that in a number of ways, but essentially putting the solution in the hands of the consumer, giving them the ability to vote with their dollar by purchasing upcycled food products. It has a direct impact on positive impact on the environment and that's aligned with their sustainability values and really giving them the solution so that they can choose to end food waste.
And that is the absolute right way to be doing this. So would you say that your average day or average sort of cycle of effort looks like you're interfacing with consumers mainly or with governments or with the companies? Who are you actually talking to the most here?
Well, it's been really fun because we just actually launched this organization a few months ago. So we launched at the ReFed Food Waste Summit in San Francisco, end of October 2019. So just months ago. And in that short amount of time, we've grown from just a handful of members to over 35 members. One of the questions that we get when I tell people about the work that I'm doing is, are there really that many people out there doing food upcycling? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
A new report came out last year that showed that the market value of this industry of upcycled food is worth more than $46 billion. And over the next 10 years, it's going to grow by many tens of billions more. and it's going to continue growing. And virtually everyone out there who makes a trends report or some kind of prediction about the future of the food system and what sort of trends and labels and categories are going to be most popular, everyone is predicting that upcycled food is going to be a major player in that. And so our growth from 0 to 35 members in a matter of weeks is really reflective of the fact that this industry, this is coming. Upcycled food is going to be a part of our daily life. And we just have to, what I'm really excited about as a leader of the industry association is that we get to be the ones who do it the right way. Because there's a right way to do this and there's a wrong way to do it. And I'm really excited about doing it in the way that has the most positive impact on the environment and on our world possible.
What do you think is the wrong way to do it? I'm just curious. I mean, I guess like has a negative environmental impact, but I mean, how are you envisioning people doing it the wrong way?
Well, for example, I think greenwashing is a really big problem. And what we don't want to happen is for this word upcycled food to become really high demand and this potentially really impactful thing that just gets diluted because big food companies say, oh, look at this product. It's upcycled. When really it's something that they were already doing and it's not having a marginal net positive impact on the environment. That's not our mission. Our mission is to reduce food waste, not to normalize the current amount of food waste.
That's a really important distinction. So have companies been doing this for, you know, the past 10, 20, 100 years? Is that sort of already the status quo in that they're sort of talking about having some sort of plan for their food waste, but actually it's not really a plan at all?
Well, there's a byproduct from virtually every food manufacturing operation.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Anytime you make a food item, there's something that's going to waste. And it's in a company's best interest, certainly, to not allow that to happen. Any of that waste is a loss. So in financial terms, that's money that they're losing. And I think it's really interesting. Here's something that I've been experimenting with, and I would welcome your feedback on it, and I would welcome your listeners' feedback on it, but I haven't been able to come up with anything against this. Here's why I think that upcycled food is a perfect and secret and genius alliance between progressive sustainable food shoppers and corporate food. Yeah. Because they have a stronger interest than virtually anyone to solve this problem. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the true or false, and you tell me if you agree.
Okay.
In a capitalistic food system, in light of the fact that people want to reduce food waste and care about food waste, consumers,
mm-hmm.
in light of those two facts, capitalistic food system, people care about food waste, reducing food waste is one of the only places where the values of the corporation and the values of the consumer actually overlap.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I've been thinking about that a lot. I think because there's such a strong financial benefit for the companies and such a strong sustainability benefit.
The only caveat really is the momentum of systems that are already in place. But on a conceptual level, yeah, I agree as well that it makes complete sense to reduce the waste from your process if it's already costing you money. I think the argument for the producers now in this sense, especially the industrial producers, is how do you take what they're already doing that seems to be the status quo and shift doing anything else? I mean, at the scale they're operating on, whether it's a change that makes them profit or not, telling them to change is sort of the problem.
Right. But just taking that statement on its own, I think about this stuff all the time. And when we finally were brainstorming that idea, I was like, my mind is getting blown right now. We genuinely just found an area where the values of seemingly totally disparate entities with totally different values and motives in the world. I mean, typically when we think of corporations making more money, we think of them doing something that's going to harm the planet. Mm-hmm. Or harm their workers.
Certainly.
Or harm disenfranchised, vulnerable populations somewhere in the world, probably in the global south, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, in this one unique case, it's such an easy win because we're speaking the same language, the natural language of both the progressive food consumer who wants to reduce food waste and the corporation. And so it really starts with the consumer demand. If people want to buy a lot of upcycled food, then that gives food companies, big and small, and this isn't just big corporate food companies, this is family farms, this is startup consumer packaged good companies, this is everyone. We need food companies to make money because most food companies out there are small, and we want them to be successful, right?
Right.
Many of which came out of UC Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to be successful because these are the, you know, these progressive small companies are the ones that are carrying the flag for our values. And there's this overlap between the values of consumers and food companies. And the way that we maximize that we amplify that overlap is by creating the demand. And we know that the demand is there. One of our partners, Matson, which is a leading product development company, who was present at the Food Waste Summit as well, did a study recently, and they showed that 60% of consumers want to buy more upcycled food. And that's because 95% of food consumers want to do their part in reducing food waste, one way or another.
Wow, yeah, that's and a lot.
That to me is so promising. 60%, more than half people want to buy more upcycled food. I mean, imagine the diversity out there that represents. More than half of people want to buy more upcycled food.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even know what upcycled food is yet.
Yeah.
Think about how many billions of dollars have been invested to try to get people to want to buy organic food.
Right.
It's been around since the 90s, early 90s, 1992, the Organic Standards Board meets for the first time, and they set the standards for what is organic and what's not. And since then, billions of dollars have been poured into this industry to try to get people to demand more upcycled food, or excuse me, demand more organic food.
Mm-hmm.
This industry, upcycled food industry, is brand new, and already most people want more of it. And to me, that's so remarkable because it's like no money. It's just like it kind of highlights this inherent thing about humans, right? I think we're supposed to not like food waste as a species. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there's something natural in our DNA that says, don't let this stuff go to waste.
I mean, I think there's an obesity crisis that says we're finishing far too much food, but that has to do more with the constituent parts of food, and there's a lot of still cultural weight to not wasting what's on one's plate, even if what's actually on the plate in the first place isn't necessarily good quality food. So it's absolutely been there. You're right.
Well, and let me push back on that. I'm not saying I disagree with you on that, but I want to kind of like
please do.
No, we like encourage that.
There's a correlation, as unintuitive as it might be, there's a correlation between obesity and malnutrition.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that's because there's such a strong correlation between obesity and income, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is such an important thing to bring up in the conversation around food waste, because hunger, global hunger, or food security, urban American food insecurity, you know, so like macro, micro,
mm-hmm.
they're neither of them are food scarcity issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough food.
Yeah.
There's enough food for everyone. There's enough food. It's a distribution problem. It's getting the food to people. And again, that's why another reason that I'm so excited about upcycled food, because it gives us the opportunity to say, hey, the population is growing. By 2050, there's going to be 10 billion people on this planet. How the hell are we going to provide food for all these people? We're already deforesting at rates that are completely unsustainable, which only exacerbate global warming by
mm-hmm.
creating the positive feedback loop associated with taking the organisms that recycle carbon out of the system.
Precisely.
To make room for agriculture. How are we going to provide enough food for 10 billion people when we don't even have enough room for the agriculture for all that, unless we get rid of all of our rainforests? And what upcycled food says is, well, it's possible because given the land that's going to agriculture right now, there's 40% more food than we're currently taking advantage of. And so we basically get to almost double the size of our food system, our food economy, just by taking the food that is already being produced and putting it to better use. And that's why the vision, our stated vision as an organization at the Upcycled Food Association, is to create a food system in which all food goes to its highest and best use. So if there's 40% of our food that's going to waste right now, that's the size of the upcycled food economy, potentially.
Yeah.
Take all the food that's going to waste. That's all potentially upcyclable food. And so think about how huge of an opportunity that is. If 40% of our food waste, which is, by the way, worth trillions of dollars.
Indeed it is.
If we found a magical new continent on Earth that for whatever reason we had overlooked until now, and there was hiding on it 40% of our agricultural economy, that would be a gold mine, to say the least, economically, environmentally, because look, we're saved. There's all these new resources here that help us avoid climate catastrophe and avoid economic catastrophe, because as food waste continues to grow, so does the waste of money that's associated with it. So this isn't just an environmental problem. This is a social problem. This is an economic problem. And upcycled food is the most serious and scalable way that I have seen that addresses all three simultaneously.
This is fantastic information to hear. And I think the average person, unfortunately, really is only aware of this on the periphery and sort of has a sense that, oh, it's one of those problems that's so distant from what I could possibly actually solve. Even if there is that willingness, like you said, 95% of people want this, the willingness to actually theoretically solve it. So I'm curious, do you know where is the majority of the waste occurring from what you've seen? And we've seen some of these numbers, but from your perspective, is it on farms in production facilities, or is it at grocery stores, restaurants? Where is the food or people's tables? Where is it actually being wasted the most and the worst?
So if you take the up to 40% that's going to waste, the largest percentage of that in terms of sector is getting wasted at home,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, actually pretty encouraging, mm-hmm. because we know that 95% of people want to do their part to reduce food waste. And they're the most powerful stakeholder. The most powerful stakeholder is the one with the most sway. So there's kind of a nice natural alignment there. If it was, you know, someone else who we had to convince to reduce the problem and they were the biggest polluter, that would be a more challenging situation. But in fact, we're the biggest polluter, and we are the ones who want to solve the problem and have the most power to solve the problem. So that's really encouraging. And actually, I think that relates very intimately with the concept of upcycled food as well, because here is yet another example of putting the power to reduce food waste directly in the hands of regular people. If there's two products on the shelf at the grocery store,
right,
that are analogous, you know, they're both flours or they're both beverages or they're both whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and one is upcycled and one's not, and you have the choice. If you buy the upcycled one, you're helping to reduce food waste, third most important thing that you can do for the environment out of everything.
Yeah.
And then the other alternative, you don't make that choice. And so it's a very clear, very empowering situation for a consumer to be in, where there's such a distinct, concrete way for them to have a positive impact on the environment just by making one purchase decision over another.
I, the eternal sort of pragmatist, wonder here, is there any discrete or concrete reason that in this world of equivalence here, that the upcycled version of a product would cost distinctly more than the traditional alternative? I mean, doesn't it seem theoretically that it should be actually cheaper?
It does seem that way. And that's one of the messaging hurdles that we have to overcome. Mm-hmm. And there's some encouraging research that was produced by Drexel University a couple of years ago that looked into how do consumers think about upcycled food. do they see it as a standalone food category similar to conventional food or organic food? And the conclusion to, in our research was yes, that's exactly how consumers think about it. They think about it as a standalone food category that can be applied to, you know, any aisle of the grocery store. Anything at the grocery store could either be conventional or organic or upcycled. Right. That's how consumers naturally think about this. And another finding was that the way that consumers think about upcycled food is that it has a positive benefit on other, on the other, whether that be other people, the environment, something outside of me. Upcycled is associated with positive impact on other. And what was really interesting about this research is that it compared how to what degree consumers had that positive association with a positive impact on other with that of organic. And what was found was that it was to an even greater degree, consumers think that there is a positive impact created for others associated with the word upcycled versus the word organic.
Why do you think that is?
I think that's because, again, I think it kind of goes to the natural tendency of human beings to not want to waste food.
Yeah.
I think it's really clear to us that wasting food is not something that we want to do, and it just naturally resonates with our instincts.
Because, like, maybe evolutionarily we need the nutrition, something like that, or...
Yeah, yeah. Think about it. There, someone 100 years ago could have told you that wasting food is bad. Drawdown wasn't published then. They weren't... someone 100 years ago wasn't saying, well, when you quantitatively rank all of the potential environmental strategies to reduce climate change... food waste is number three based on this methodologies and these criteria. No, they were just saying, don't waste your food. That's not good. And it turns out that this natural tendency to not want to waste food that just happens to exist in us also happens to be the third most impactful thing that you can do for the environment.
Well, it's so interesting. If that used to be part of our sort of consciousness when there was a food scarcity problem, and now there is the opposite of it, a scarcity problem, perhaps people have stopped thinking of it that way. And I hope they haven't. I mean, but I'm worried that on a large scale, people no longer see food as challenging to acquire in any way. So there's really no direct incentive to them to want to not waste it. Although I'd like to be wrong about that.
Well, besides, right, the sustainability, which I guess that's not direct.
Right.
Yeah. So that's tough. And I think what you're speaking to is sort of the fact that in addition to all of these different strategies, like you can start a social enterprise or a nonprofit that does something really cool to reduce food waste. And at the end of the day, we need a spiritual revolution when it comes to our relationship with food too, right?
Yeah.
No matter how good of systems we have in place, if people don't have that good relationship in place with food, then it's not going to work. And again, that's one of the things that I love about upcycled food is that it allows consumers to kind of deepen their relationship with food in a positive way that can kind of help spur that spiritual revolution of like, this is my one sort of way of making contact with Mother Earth on a daily basis, because this food is like the thing that I'm consuming every day that came from the soil and that represents the hard work of many people all around the world and cultural traditions that predate me. And it's kind of this beautiful thing, our relationship with food. And so when we give people tools to deepen that relationship, it produces, yeah, the kind of spiritual revolution that on top of good systems and good strategies, we need it no matter what.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We just had a food anthropologist on one of our most recent episodes, and he was kind of like, yeah, the food waste thing is good, but ultimately we need sort of a cultural change in the way we think about our food system, and we need to his whole big thing is like reconnect with your food.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. Well, yeah.
Well, and we need accessible ways for for people to do that too, because it doesn't, I mean, if you come up with the best strategy in the world, but it's only for sale at Whole Foods, that's not going to work. That's not scalable either.
Yeah.
And assuming that a solution that's expensive and only available to, you know, privileged elite Westerners is just a really bad way of going about any solution. And so if we're going to come up with a solution, it needs to be something that's accessible to everyone. And again, think about upcycled food and who has the ability to upcycle food, and compare it to organic. Who has the ability to make something organic? Only farmers. If farmers, you know, go through the hoops to certify their farm as organic, then everyone else in the food system, on down to the grocery store and the consumer, considers that thing organic. So it puts a lot of pressure on the backs of farmers, who are generally the most exploited and vulnerable people in our entire food system. Whereas, on the other hand, who has the ability to upcycle food? Well, farmers can upcycle food by gleaning the produce that would otherwise go to waste, that would otherwise be lost, be unharvested or unsold. Retailers have the ability to upcycle. Anything that doesn't go to waste can be made into other products. Any grocery store that has like a manufacturing facility, like a deli, can take food that would otherwise go to waste and upcycle it into, you know, a soup or something like that. Manufacturers obviously have the ability to upcycle food. That's where most food upcycling happens. And then consumers have the ability to upcycle food. Anything that you would normally go to waste in your household on a sort of habitual level, and then you take that and you turn it into a high quality new food that gets eaten, that's you practicing your own ability to upcycle food. And so instead of being this very top-down thing where the most exploited, vulnerable people within our food system have the responsibility to bear for everyone else, it's sort of this more equally distributed, less centralized way of creating positive, sustainable change in our food system that everyone can access.
That's really interesting. I've never thought about it like food waste as a problem that's basically democratizing the food system. That's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, actually, I really love the way that you said that, because I think, again, think about it as like the 40% of food that's going to waste, that's, it's kind of available to anyone. Yeah. It's going to waste right now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's sort of hard. How do you, as like through the Upcycled Food Association, how do you brand these products as high quality but not so high quality that the average consumer can't access them? I just think that's kind of an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, right.
Like, you don't want to brand it like organic necessarily.
Yeah, and I think that's a big challenge that we have. And the first thing I would say is that we as an association, we are just a collection of businesses. We outside of, you know, we can work to strategize and to systematically make our members more successful by making the whole industry work together. But the industry is made up of businesses. One of the analogies that we say is that if each of our businesses is a skyscraper, the association is doing the municipal plumbing, kind of the unsexy behind the scenes work that makes all of the skyscrapers turn into a beautiful skyline, right?
Cool.
And that's to say that their products speak for themselves. The plumbing is not the skyline. And in terms of how things will be branded and messaged and marketed, that's up to our members. Okay. And their products speak for themselves, and I think they really are going to be the ones to ultimately have to carry out that hurdle. Our jobs is at the association level is to help inform them with research and best practices so that we can kind of unify around what is the right language, help determine what the right language is, and then everyone should be using that language. But again, we have the advantage of knowing that people are already sort of naturally interested in upcycled food.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to make anything up We don't have to be deceitful. All we have to do is tell the truth about what this stuff is, and people are naturally going to gravitate towards it.
What are some of the products that you've seen as being most popular or able to be most easily accessed so far?
Man, we have an amazing range of diversity within our membership so far. Like I said, we, in just the few months that we've been alive, we've grown to over 35 members, and it's everything from technology that helps to connect businesses with otherwise wasted food to platforms that provide ugly produce for sale to brewer's grain to other byproducts, otherwise wasted byproducts like Okara. There's a lot of really interesting stuff happening in the beverage world. We have some beverages being made out of things like avocado pits.
Wow.
And then, of course, there's beer made from otherwise wasted bread and spirits made from whey and otherwise wasted bread. So some really interesting things happening in the beverage world, too. I'm really excited to see the continued growth in not only the size of this industry and our impact, but the diversity and the really creative, really high quality products that people come up with.
Awesome.
So yeah.
I have one more question. Maybe not one more, but so in terms of your vision, I mean, yeah, I know you're just getting started and it sounds like it's pretty successful so far, but your vision for the Upcycled Food Association, are you thinking of it really as more like small companies, like entrepreneurs, or, you know, like small businesses, small social enterprises being members, or are you open to having larger major food companies if they were to demonstrate a certain level of commitment to this topic, you know, being involved?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I think that it speaks to our mission, which is to reduce food waste by growing this industry, right?
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, the answer to that question for us, if we're aligned with our mission, should be, well, what's going to reduce the most food waste?
Mm-hmm.
If we help to create 1 million, you know, let's go to scale, 1 million new startup food businesses that are upcycling food in creative ways,
mm-hmm.
is that going to have the most impact, or is it going to be some balance between that and convincing big food companies that already have recognizable and high demand food products to integrate a little upcycled ingredients into their existing products, and what's the right balance there? Because the reality is there are some companies out there who we know of who are interested in upcycled food, who could at the stroke of a pen say, okay, we're going to include a little bit of this upcycled food ingredient in this, that, and the other product. And they would have the impact overnight that 100 startups couldn't have,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're just so scaled up. And in that way, I think it's an interesting alliance between progressive, small, sustainable food companies and larger food companies. In that, so far, the upcycled food industry and the upcycled food movement, because this really is an environmental movement, mm-hmm. has been led by these small, charismatic, likable food startup brands, and we're seeing big companies kind of latch onto that concept instead of the other way around, which I think would be a little bit less real, less genuine.
I love the nuance of that answer, and it's completely in touch with how these huge companies actually behave, which is, we're going to wait until the dirty work is done and approach this when and if it pretty much exclusively contributes to profit and a better brand image, and really no, there's no real association with the mission, with the message, with the real reasoning behind why one might be doing these things. So that's a very responsible way to look at it, but certainly to respect the huge impact these companies could have if it was done correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that I love about the concept of upcycled food is, again, it's sort of this overlap, that natural overlap between everyone's current values. Like, we don't have to convince corporate food of anything new for right. them to be bought into upcycled food. We don't have to convince even the mm-hmm. most hardcore sustainable food shoppers to think, to believe something new than what they already believe. And those kinds of easy wins really need to be exploited right now, because we live in a world that is so divided in every sense. And here, glaring at us in the face, is this opportunity to unify. And we're not making a statement on, is it, you know, is a commoditized food system the right way to go? We're saying, if there are ways for us to work together to create positive impact on the environment to the degree of, this is the third most important thing that we should be doing out of everything you can imagine to help the environment. If there's a way for us all to work together and not have to revolutionize any new concept or spend an exorbitant amount of money to do that, then that's what we should be doing. Because those are the things that at this time when there's kind of like an urgent need to be making change, that's really what we need to be focusing on, are the things that are going to provide the greatest environmental impact return on our investment in the short term, but in a way that's sustainable. And I think that's exactly what we're building.
Yeah, absolutely. You're probably also interested in just reducing waste in the economy in general, the whole idea of a circular economy, you know, even beyond food. You know, Project Drawdown does note that food waste is so high on its list, right, in terms of sustainability. But yeah, I guess what makes you think food is a good place to start?
Well, I think it's the reason that it's so high and the drawdown ranking is also the sort of fundamental reason that it's the right place to start. And it's because we all touch it.
Yeah.
We are all impacted. There's so few things that impact all of us. And this food system is one of them. And it turns out that it's one of the most powerful. Really that it's kind of a combination of the fact that, yes, it's the most effective, but it is the most effective because it's sort of, yeah, again, it's this spiritual thing that we all have our own meaningful relationship with. And the more meaningful our relationship with food becomes, the more powerful a tool it becomes for us to do positive change.
Yeah.
We couldn't agree more. I mean, we're always focused on multi-avenue approaches, on anything that everyone is going to be able to touch in some respect, and that any company might be interested in because it has an impact on all people. And this is certainly something that hopefully is beginning to make sense to them. And our only worry is that it hasn't made sense for some reason for so long, and that we need to convince people that it's time for it to make sense. So for the average person, when they're talking about reducing their own food waste, when is the best time for a person who's listening to this right now to really say, okay, I'm going to have this impact. I know I can cut down pounds or hundreds of pounds of waste this year if I do X or Y. Is it while they're shopping? Is it while they're preparing food? What's the actual concrete sort of next step for a person who says, okay, I'm the biggest percentage sort of at fault here. What's the change that I make? What actual food items am I going to think about differently tomorrow?
Well, it's a great question. And I think it's not an easy answer. There's no silver bullet, unfortunately. But there's a number of there's sort of a variety of pretty accessible things that most people can do. I think, and unfortunately, it's kind of an all of the above answer. It starts in the grocery store where you're making choices about what you purchase. Am I actually going to consume this item? Am I going to consume this entire item? And truly adjusting your purchase behavior in the grocery store to prevent waste. A lot of people would ask, well, I don't know what type of choices in the grocery store or in my own home, for that matter, are going to create less waste. Well, buying less food, for one thing, is has been shown to reduce waste. Going to the grocery store more often, that's a couple ways to start. In your own home, I think it's a matter, I mean, there's things that you can do, like keep a list on your refrigerator and educating yourself about the ways that you can use products that are going bad. And there's lots of resources online. The new interim executive director of ReFed, Dana Gunders, who's like the hero of the whole food waste movement, wrote a book called The Waste-Free Kitchen, where it's all about, you know, how do I actually use this wilted lettuce, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, for people who are in a university setting, there's the famous smaller plate example. If, you know, people want to see a full plate, if you use a smaller plate, there's less food on there, which gives you less margin for food to go to waste. And so it's kind of like this layer of consciousness that if can be applied lightly across your entire life in really light touch, kind of easy, accessible ways of just thinking about, hey, am I gonna eat this? Am I gonna finish this? Not in a really invasive way of like, oh, I'm gonna completely change my diet, or I'm gonna run out of money by going to the grocery store every 30 minutes instead of once a week. No, just lightly kind of apply that general sense of curiosity across your whole experience with food. When you're serving yourself a plate, when you're in the grocery store, when you're picking up an item, when you're, you know, kind of doing any of those run-of-the-mill activities that you do when you're interacting with food, just ask yourself, am I going to eat this? And start there. And then, again, that's why I love upcycled food as a concept to address this problem, is because it's such a clear way. When you're in the grocery store and you want to reduce food waste, buy an upcycled food product.
Right.
So there's a shameless plug, but a clear, concrete way, as you said, to kind of have the impact that you want to do.
That's great. We're as we usually say, all about lossless solutions to things, and this is, it couldn't be a more literal interpretation of that. Literally do things that aren't changing your daily habit or diet, and figure out how to just be mindful of everything you're buying. That's a prescription that
Right. Everyone
with a few brain cells can get behind.
Well, and think about it this way. Most, in the same, we were talking earlier about most of the time when we think about corporations saving money, we think about them doing something rotten that harms someone in the world or is harmful to the environment. Mm-hmm. It's similar for us as consumers. Most things that create positive change for the environment or society cost money. We're either giving money away to causes that we care about, or we're volunteering our time, which is money, or we are paying more for a premium product that has the impact that we want. Wasting less food saves you money. And in that way is so much more accessible than the sort of making positive environmental impact a premium good. Wasting less food saves you money. It costs you less money.
Right.
And so it's, again, those are the kinds of solutions that I think are so important for us to focus on.
Right. It's not only financially beneficial for the company, but it's financially beneficial for individual consumers.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the average American wastes like $1,200 per year on food that they never eat. So each of us is in a position where every time we're buying food, we can make the decision, am I going to spend part of that $1,200 that's going to get wasted right now? And if you consistently answer, no, I'm not going to spend any of that money, I'm not going to waste any of this money right now, then at the end of the year, you have $1,200 extra bucks to do whatever you want with.
Yeah. That's the marketing campaign that I want to see.
That would
really do it. We are sort of reaching the end of podcast territory here. Are there any other important plugs you'd like to give to up-and-coming companies? Are there any important missions that you've been on recently that you'd like to tell people about right now?
I do volunteer for Fresh Food Connect. I'm on the board of directors. I helped co-found that organization, and I'm on the board now.
Okay.
And it's a great food waste-related organization as well. It has a technology platform that food recovery organizations can use to help increase the amount of fresh produce that they have access to by connecting them with local gardeners. Take a look at our website and learn more about all of our members, upcycledfood.org. And that's also a place where you can sign up for our newsletter and stay in the loop about sort of the latest findings on the industry and the state of the art as this industry grows. And look out for our members' products and for upcycled products in general. But don't just do that as a way to consume more upcycled food, do that as a way that aligns with your general mission to reduce food waste and save money in your own life, and have buying upcycled food and doing everything else that you do be your reflection of that, that you want to be a part of the third most effective solution to climate change.
And save a whole bunch of money. I think we can all get behind that.
Exactly.
It's a real win-win.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us, Turner. This has been a very enlightening chat, really.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot.